Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, Cyclone fans? This is the On the Trail podcast. I'm Adam Gray with Jared Stansberry. Once again, the On the Trail podcast is brought to you by our good friends, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. You can find them at 4800 Mill Civic Parkway, Suite 107. Once again, if you're someone who has had a hard time finding the perfect fitness program for you, The Exercise Coach is what you need to go give a shot to, or try to. I butchered that a little bit. But two 20-minute workouts a week, all you need. You'll see results. Four free workouts. Call. Mention Cyclone Fanatic.
I'm digging the energy,
yeah,
Adam.
Well,
Gray,
you told me that I needed to step it up this week. You said last week I came off a little flat, didn't bring it. You said, what was your exact words before this podcast started?
It's just got to pop. You got to get some punch behind it.
I think you said you need to announce your presence with authority.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Nuke LaLoosh.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
You've never seen Bull Durham?
Oh, I've seen Bull. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
I was going to say, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
No,
you're
going to
tell me you've never seen Bull Durham?
I'm not Chris Williams. I've seen Bull Durham. Bull Durham, you know, one of the better baseball movies of all time. It's no A League of Their Own. A League of Their Own is the best sports movie
of all
time.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lie. Bull Durham is so good, dude.
It is good. No, it is good. It's just not as good as A League of Their Own. That's all I'm saying.
Once you win 20 games in the show, then you can have fungus on your shower shoes.
No, it's a good movie. I'm not arguing that. Is that your favorite sports movie or
favorite? Yeah, I don't know if I'd say favorite.
I'm guessing you being a basketball guy, Hoosiers. Would Hoosiers be your favorite?
Hoosiers is up there. That's a little too loud. Hoosiers would be up there. I like Friday Night Lights, the movie.
See, Friday Night Lights is okay, but the TV show is just so much better.
Oh, yeah. They're both just really good. Yeah. I like them. I thoroughly enjoy both of them.
I would say Friday Night Lights, the TV show, would rank up there as one of my top three or four favorite shows of all time.
So, for Tailgate Society, you know, the site I'm working on with Ted Flint,
yeah,
which launches next week, by the way.
How much are you guys paying for that little shout-out right there, huh? I'm kidding.
you can also go listen to my Meet the Writer podcast that I recorded last night with Ted Flint. So that was really fun.
Did you have a beer with you when you did it?
No, but I was folding clothes and trying to play with my dog. Lolo actually made an appearance on the seniors on Monday because she could not
stop barking.
She could not settle down in the crate. So she had to run around with us for a little bit.
You and Chris's dogs. You guys, you need to keep them checked in a little bit.
But,
You're just moving on.
I don't even remember what we were talking
about. You're talking about the Tailgate Society.
Yeah, Tailgate Society. So next week, we had to draft these teams, like fictional football teams. And I essentially built my team out of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, did
you? Got Matt Saracen and Booby Miles were my number one, number two picks.
So you went both TV show and movie.
Yeah.
I got you.
I had to do. Had to get them both involved.
You took Saracen number one?
Well, no, I took Booby Miles number one,
sir.
Oh, that's
clear. No, Booby Miles before the injury.
Definitely. Yeah. Dude, Booby Miles can play any position. Like, that's the thing that I say. You know,
can put him at linebacker for sure. He'd be a terror linebacker.
He can run, he can catch, and he can pass. That's all I have to know.
Well, that's good. I mean, I look forward to your fictional team playing someday.
There you go.
What do we got this week? We don't have a whole lot of recruiting news, so we're going to go a little bit more expectations or what we want to see from the Iowa State football team.
Hopes.
I
also I kind of made this into like a almost like a predictions like I want to happen. You know, like it's like a it's hopes like slash like predictions.
Oh,
that's kind of how I made mine.
I didn't necessarily go with the prediction route.
Yeah,
that's fun. Before we get to that, though.
Yeah, we got a couple recruiting notes that we wanted to get to. First off, KJ Hamler, 4-star wide receiver that Iowa State had been on, came on a visit in June, tore his ACL last week. I don't know. I would assume it was in his game. I don't know if it was in his game or in practice, but yeah.
Ah, you always hate that. I mean, especially a kid that's a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his last chance to go out in high school. I mean, and I know he's obviously going to go on to bigger and better things. He's going to play college football.
Definitely.
But still, there's nothing better than running out with your high school team one last time, and that got cut short for him. So I feel really bad for the kid. We had this conversation last week with
Thayer Munford.
Does this help Iowa State?
I would think so, but I could also see where maybe not, because he's proved it on film that he can play.
He has.
I think it just comes down to those big schools, the Michigan States, Michigan's, Oregon's. You know, do they look at that and maybe back off a little bit?
This is my take on it. I hope I'm actually wrong, but my guess is the Iowa States and Michigan States, most of those schools will stay on him because he is. But Michigan and Oregon, they can probably go out and still get some other four-star talent.
Yeah.
To where they might just say, no, we'll pass on this.
Definitely.
It would not surprise me on that at all.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hopefully not, though. Hopefully they stick with that kid and this little injury doesn't slow him down at all. In today's world, an ACL injury, I mean, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago.
Right, definitely. So. Okay, so then we had a couple commitments to other schools. MJ Webb, defensive end prospect that Iowa State had been after, one that we'd been really high on, committed to South Carolina.
He's high school teammates with Caleb Chandler, which is kind of –
I don't think they're teammates, but I think they're buddies.
Oh, I thought they were teammates.
I don't know if they're teammates. I don't think they are.
Okay. Yeah, committed to South Carolina.
Yeah, which I don't think is too much of a surprise to anybody.
No, he was – I think they were always the leader for him.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if Iowa State keeps just kind of – checking in from time to time with him, because you never know with those kids.
Right.
But and then the other one was who? Addison Gums?
Addison Gums committed to Oklahoma.
See, I'm starting to hate Oklahoma a little bit more lately. They took Marquise Hayes and now Addison Gums. And I know they're going to do it, but let's be honest. We never used to lose recruits to Oklahoma because we were never in the game with Oklahoma before. So I feel a lot better losing recruits to Oklahoma.
I don't even know that I would say that they lost a recruit to Oklahoma. You know,
how do you
can you say okay? I mean, they did. Like Iowa State was recruiting
really
him as well, and they really liked him. But
Marquise Hayes would have been more of a loss. Because
he was more right. That was one that where we legitimately looked at that. He'd been on some visits to Ames, and it's like, okay, that one. That's a very real possibility that he could come to Iowa State. Gums had visits scheduled, and it just never. He didn't come.
He had two visits scheduled at times. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, he was interested in Iowa State enough to where he got our hopes up.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it was like a thing where he's got one hat's Oklahoma, he's got one hat's Iowa State, and he's like, which one is it, Oklahoma or Iowa State?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was more of a Iowa State was in the picture, but it wasn't like they were right there in the picture.
Isn't it a lot better, though? I mean, and it sucks because we're going to be playing Oklahoma, and we'll probably see these guys, and they'll probably be studs, and we'll hate it forever. But we used to be sitting here checking Twitter and updating Twitter to see if a guy was going to pick Iowa State or Purdue. Or even Iowa State and Mac school sometimes. And that we used to hang our hats. At least now we're losing a couple guys to Oklahoma. And I don't know if we ever would have gotten before anything anyway, but it does make me feel better. Although, I'm starting to hate Oklahoma a little bit more.
Definitely.
I never hated Oklahoma because I just always just assumed that they were going to kick our ass.
I don't like Oklahoma.
Well, you're a Nebraska fan.
Why do you have to bring that up all the time?
Well, everybody knows. You talk about it every week. I'm not telling anybody anything.
I don't ever say anything. I don't be like, oh, I love the Huskers. I don't do anything like that.
Not anymore.
I never said anything like that.
I don't think I'm –
Dude, no.
I'm not telling anybody anything. You grew up a Nebraska fan.
Yeah.
Williams grew up a Hawkeye
fan.
He's a diehard Hawkeye fan.
It's actually crazy, dude. Oregon, Nebraska, September 17th will be my 100th Nebraska game.
You counted them?
Yeah. I just remember. Dude, I didn't miss a game from fourth grade until I was probably a sophomore in high school.
No, stop. Time out. 1 second. Did you go back and count all the games? Or
no, I've had a tally. I've had a tally for
you
quite
have?
A while. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But
that's the thing. Like, when I was growing up, that was Saturday. That's what it was, you know?
I wonder, Cyclone fans listening right now, I wonder if any of you are the same way. If you've counted how many football games you've been to. I have not. It'd be interesting to go back and...
Well, it was just because I got to a point... probably like my senior year of high school where I was thinking, I was like, damn, I've been to a lot of games. I wonder how many games I've been to.
And
I just looked back at the schedules and I know what my first game was.
Who was your first game?
It's Colorado.
Who won?
1997. Nebraska did.
Okay. That was back when Colorado was actually good at football that time period.
It was the year after Nebraska won the national championship. I was 3 years old.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, since you've just seen Nebraska just...
I lived through the dark days. Dude, I actually was thinking about one the other day, a game I was that I was remembering was a double overtime thriller during the Billy C era between Iowa State and Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. One of the crazier games I actually can remember. It's one of the only... I think it's the only one I've ever been to that went to double overtime.
I immediately regret going off topic and bringing up Nebraska.
I'm just saying.
No, I mean,
it's the only game I've ever been to that went to double overtime.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of the 100.
Were you not at the Iowa State-Iowa game a couple years back when it was 44-41?
No.
That was a triple overtime.
That was the Steele-Jantz game?
Yeah.
I didn't go to school at Iowa State then yet.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. You were still down at Simpson?
I don't know if I was at Simpson or if I was – that might have been like my senior year of high school.
No.
Was that the same year that they beat Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my senior year of high school.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I forget how young you are.
Yeah, my Iowa State
– that was a great year.
Fanhood slash, you know, desire for Iowa State to win started in 2013.
That year, the start of the season was crazy for Iowa State. They beat you and I in a game they probably shouldn't have. The Steele-Jantz rolling out, throwing like the long pass to Lentz for the touchdown. Beating Iowa triple overtime. Three interceptions right away for Steele-Jantz. Still beat UConn on the road. UConn fans broke
sides
arm. Yeah,
I remember that game.
Yeah. Oklahoma State game. I mean, there were some really good games in there. It was a fun, especially the three home games that Iowa State got to win. Iowa State fans got their money's worth that year.
I can remember that Oklahoma State game. I was in Clarinda, and for some reason we didn't have school the next day. And it was like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. I'm driving home in a torrential downpour. It's like flooding in Clarinda. And I'm listening to John Walters while I'm trying to drive home. This is like the first Iowa State game I'd ever listened to on the radio. That one and the Iowa game were the first two Iowa State games I can ever remember the outcome, like listening to find out how if Iowa State was going to win.
For the when we beat Oklahoma State, too?
Oklahoma State and Iowa. Those were the first two.
I'm sorry, but
that same year.
You're taking one for the team. You're not going to any games this year. You're going to sit in your car and you're going to listen to every game on the radio. And there's no other way of getting around that. That's what you will do. I'm superstitious enough.
No,
if that happened to me, I absolutely would do it.
It's bad because the last game I listened to completely on the radio.
Yeah.
You want to know what it was?
Please don't tell me Baylor, 71-7.
It was Kansas State last year.
Worst loss in football history. Not Iowa State history, football history.
All right, so now that we've gone off topic for like 5 minutes, everybody's going to hate me now.
No, off topic's fine. As long as you don't turn it into the Fawcast. The Fawcast, is designated for off topic for 45 straight minutes.
Yeah.
This one, we can have a little bit back.
So we're doing, five hopes for ISU football in 2016.
I prefaced it with five things I'd like to see.
Okay.
My aspect.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing that I've got.
You want to start it?
Yeah, I'll do first one. Convincing wins over UNI in Kansas.
Okay. I like it. Would you have considered last year's win a convincing win over UNI?
Yeah. I want them to control the game from the beginning to the end.
Okay. In Kansas, we won 38-13. I'd say convincing win last year.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. That UNI game to start was ugly. I know we ended up outscoring 21-0 in the second half. But, I mean, going into halftime up 10-7, that's not the start. If we start that way again this year, I will be very disappointed. And I think UNI is a good team. They always give us fits. I would just like to see us get going a little bit earlier and get some early scores. But, yeah, okay, I think that's fair. And let's be honest, if Iowa State doesn't come out and win convincingly against UNI, and especially they have to win the game, they're probably not going to have a good season.
Right.
It's just typically you go back and you look. When Iowa State has struggled against UNI, they have not had good seasons. Okay, so that's your number one. Did you see the article on ESPN written about Campbell?
Yeah.
Trying to make it more hostile to Iowa State?
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was, I mean.
Like more chaotic, you mean?
More
Isn't
chaotic.
That what
he said? Put him in the team in difficult spots and see how they, try to overcome adversity. Because my biggest thing is, and I put this here, number one, don't fold like a tent. We've seen it the last 2 years. I can go back. I actually wrote down a bunch of games here. I'll start 2 years ago, North Dakota State. Iowa State jumped out to a 14-0 lead. It was Mark Mangino's first game. Alan Lazar was a true freshman. Excitement in the building was an all-time high. Bundridge got hurt early.
Yeah.
Then Tom Farniak went down. Cotton Moy got kicked out of the game for targeting, which I didn't necessarily love the call. But all of a sudden, they busted up a big play, 14-7, and Iowa State came out, hung their heads. And the next thing you know, we got outscored 34-0. By an FCS program. And I understand it's the greatest FCS program of all time. I get it. But you still should never get outscored 34-0 at FCS program.
I did the play-by-play for that game for KURE, the student station.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful, dude.
I mean, that should never have happened. And I still think Cotton Moya was the biggest loss of the whole thing. Because then we had, was it Siri? Kamari Siri in there at safety?
It was either him or Darian Cotton.
I think it was Kamari Siri, and he missed a couple assignments. But, yeah, hung our heads there. Next week. Kansas State comes to town, second game of the season. They're ranked 20th. We got up, I think, 28-13.
That was the Jake Waters game, right?
Jake Waters game. Yeah. And we look like we're going to be going into halftime up 28-13.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ball the second half. okay, we figured out, we made mistakes in the first game, but we're back. We're going to be all right.
Well, they scored, 21 points unanswered in the second – or was it 28 unanswered in the second quarter or something like that?
Well, what happened, though?
Had the Jarvis West touchdown to Alan Lazard.
Yep. Yeah, because we're down 13-0, scored 28 straight.
Yeah.
Correct. And then it looked like we're in the half, and Anthony Lazard picked up that cheap late personal foul on the sideline.
Yep.
Rhodes kicked him out, and from then on it was like, oh, gosh, here we go again. Didn't overcome adversity. They scored a touchdown late in the first half, and I think they scored a touchdown with maybe a minute or two left in that game to beat
us. Yeah, I remember Jake Waters. He ran it in, didn't he?
I think like a QB sneak or something.
I was standing right there. Yeah, I was standing right on the goal line when he ran it in. I remember that now.
I mean, and now granted, Anthony Lazard's play was ridiculously stupid, one of the dumber things I've ever seen. But still, you got to overcome that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. Okie State that year, the Jamie Pollard game. End of the first half, they give a touchdown to Oklahoma State. Probably shouldn't have been a touchdown. And that, you come out in the second half, and instead of it being a tie game or down – Team didn't respond. We got our butts kicked that second half. So, and obviously it happened a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happened a lot last year. So that's my number one thing. When stuff gets tough, I want to see how we respond. I want to see if we keep fighting or if we hang our heads and just get our asses kicked.
I want to see Mike Warren, DeMond Tucker, Alan Lazard, Brian Peavy, Cotton Moya, and Everett Edwards honored on one of the All Big 12 teams.
Everett Edwards. I like it. They've been talking him up.
Yeah.
So do you think game one, you and I, Everett Edwards starts over Mike Johnson? They've said a lot of good things about Mike Johnson, too.
Yeah. I've heard that Everett Edwards really can make plays back there, dude.
Yeah.
I've heard he's like everybody I've talked to, he's one of the first people they bring up.
And he's more experienced, too.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson's a redshirt sophomore, third year in his program because he gray-shirted.
I thought he was a freshman.
What'd I say?
You say he's a sophomore.
Redshirt freshman, I'm sorry, yeah. But he's his third year in the program because he gray shirted the first year. Everett Edwards, is he a junior?
Yeah, I think so.
He's a redshirt junior.
Yeah. He was impressive just like when I talked to him too.
What kind of size is he? Is he?
I don't know. He's probably – I'm really bad at like judging that stuff because everybody's just short to me. But
yeah, when you're 6'7".
He's probably like 6'1", 6'2". I don't know that for sure what he's listed at. He might be listed at like 6 foot.
It's a good thing we have Google right here.
Yeah.
I can look this up.
Well, I have my roster right here, too.
Do you? Why are we sitting here? Back in this 247 profile, was the first thing I pulled up when I Googled him. He was 5'11", 190 when he came out of high school. So I'm sure by now he's 6'3", 290.
No, that's what – he's 5'11", 190 right here.
Okay, perfect. So they haven't embellished that too much yet.
No.
By the first game of the season, he'll at least be 6'1", 210. He's going to be a monster safety by then. Okay, so you want...
But I'm not saying, like, all of them first team, all of them second team, honestly, or obviously.
Honorable mention.
Yeah, like, okay. If you just get, like, you get your name thrown in there,
Read those names to me again.
Mike Warren, DeMond Tucker, Alan Lazard, Brian Peavy, Kamari Cotton-Moya, and Everett Edwards.
I think those are all very fair.
Yeah.
Is there one guy that's not on the list that you could see making it? I'm putting you...
Willie Harvey,
okay. Like
that. He'd be one. Nigel Trebeaune, if he got his stuff together.
Nigel Trebeaune's that's gonna be an interesting story.
Yeah,
because he hasn't practiced now in 3 weeks.
Yeah, something like that.
And I know they still love him up there. As far as talent goes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pure talent.
What about Jay Jones? I've heard he might be. You think he gets a start first game over Jamal Wilts?
He's gonna be interesting. That's another guy it's gonna be interesting to see how he fits in.
If he actually is a starting cornerback, for the first time that I can remember, Iowa State's got some size at the cornerback position.
Yeah. Peavy's not that tall, but.
No, Peavy's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. Okay, so that was your number two. My number two, I want Lanning to be the guy all year long. Part of this for Iowa State has been because there's a quarterback controversy, and part of it's been because of injury. I want Lanning to stay both healthy and never to hear fans or the media asking Campbell, hey, are we going to give Park a chance?
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be no question that Lanning's the guy all year long. It hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Last year, Lanning took the spot from Sam. The 2 years before that, we saw Rohatch start, I think, 3 or 4 games in 2 years. Most people saw Richardson as a guy, but especially after that, I think it was Grant Rohatch's second year.
Mm-hmm.
He won those last two games for us against Kansas and West Virginia. Going into the next year, once again, we have a quarterback controversy. Steele Jantz was with Jared Barnett. I mean, even you go back to the Arnaud, Brett Meyer time period. When Brett Meyer was a senior, people were saying, hey, we got to get Arnaud on the field. And then when Arnaud was there, we got to get Jerome Taylor on the field. We saw Jerome Tiller throw a couple passes. We said, get Arnott back on the field.
Yeah.
Except he did beat your Nebraska Cornhuskers. Jerome Tiller did. Just want to throw that out there for you.
Yeah, I know. I remember. I was there.
What a great game, wasn't it? Yeah. Just a great football game. Anyway, so that's for me. I want to see him stay healthy, which offensive line is, you know, going to have to step up and help him there.
Yeah.
But I want if his level plays there, that means Iowa State, if Lanning's the guy all year, I think Iowa State has a very good chance of going to a bowl game.
For sure.
So there you go.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Number three, Iowa State wins when they wear the white helmets.
Is that a prediction or a what you want to see?
It's what I would like to see, because I feel like it just would create bad mojo if they wear the alternate uniforms. And then they go out and they get their ass kicked.
This is the dumbest take I've ever heard about.
How do you figure?
This is ridiculous.
It's just like, it's bad mojo, dude. It is. It is. You feel all fresh and then you just go out there and you get your butt kicked. Well, that would feel bad.
I would like us to see us win every game in which we wear any uniform.
Okay, that's true. But I'm just saying,
about what we're wearing.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of times where you'll see these schools wear these alternate uniforms. You get all hyped up. It's going to be awesome. And then you know what they do? They lose.
Because they're focused on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. You and Williams and Charter, you guys like to care about the stuff that doesn't really matter. You like me throwing you under the bus there?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. So the white uniforms. Okay. What game is that going to be? Do we know?
I don't know. Okay. I hope they wear them at a time when they can win. Kansas.
Kansas and kids only. Okay, number three for me.
Yeah.
No devastating losses. Like humiliating, ass-kicking losses. I don't want to
see that. That was one of the ones I was going to put on mine.
So last year we had two losses, one of 36 points, one by 35,
mm-hmm.
which was actually one of our better years last year. The year before we lost by 52 in the last game of the year to TCU. I think Alabama beat us by 40-some, or not Alabama, Oklahoma beat us by 40-some. And then the year before we lost 71-7 to Baylor. Now, we're going to lose to Oklahoma, more than likely. You're going to lose a couple other games, TCU, whatever. I just want to see us be competitive to where you don't see, you know, this tape end in the next game.
Yeah.
You get beat by 60 points, it's hard to come back the next week. It's hard to go show up back in class in front of your peers. I want to see us be competitive to even when we lose, we're keeping it, you know, worst case, we're losing a game 45-30.
Right.
That's what I want to see.
I feel like they're just not going to get beat like that, you know. I think that's very realistic.
Well, it comes back to number one.
Yeah.
Don't fold.
Right.
Don't fold.
I don't know if it was like Paul Rhodes, if it was like something that he did, like something about him. But he just always – he never seemed to have like that – I don't know. It seemed like when things got down, like even he kind of turned a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Like he'd start doing his thing where he'd get fired up with the refs and – I don't think Matt Campbell will do that kind of thing.
I had a theory towards the end of last year. And, you know, when you're winning, emotion's great, right?
Yeah.
When you're losing, you hate
it. It's awful, yeah.
And people used to love Rhodes' emotions, right? But what drove me crazy last year was when Iowa State made a big play at the end of the Iowa game, or end of the Iowa half, first mm-hmm. half, where we stopped him on that fake field goal. He celebrated like we won the game.
Yeah.
He goes crazy. Come out second half. I don't think we scored a point in the second half. Same thing as Kansas State. We scored a touchdown late in that game. Al Lazard late in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
He goes crazy, acts like we won the game. We score 0 points in the second half. I think part of it is you could celebrate, but you still have to keep that even keel. Like, we're still out there going.
Right.
I'm not going to show my emotions until we're in that locker room. We're celebrating the victory. We're singing the fight song. So, yeah, I get that.
Okay. Number four. I don't want to see them burn red shirts unnecessarily.
Okay.
Like a situation where someone's going to have to play a half. Or they use somebody as a true freshman and then they don't give them the ball.
So here's my question to that. You've seen the list that Williams put out there, mm-hmm. the freshmen that we kind of were expecting to see play.
Yeah.
Any of them right now, are you saying, I hope they don't have to play them?
Sean Foster.
Sean Foster jumps off the page, yeah.
Yeah. I'd actually even almost throw Jamal Johnson into that.
Okay.
Category two, maybe.
I think he's going to have to play.
I think he's going to have to, but yeah. I wish he didn't have to.
No, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree with you.
And
two linemen.
I don't know that there's anybody else that's like – I'm just worried that, you know, it's like if you burn the red shirt on DeShonte Jones and then Trevor Ryan just has a big year and it just – there's not that much for DeShonte Jones to, you know, add to the offense. And That's like, it's like a worry. It's just like a unnecessary worry.
My question with DeShante Jones is going to be how many wide receivers are we going to put on the field at a time?
Yeah.
Last year we saw a lot of 4 or 5 wide receivers.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like they're going to be doing that this year.
It sounds like the thing that Tom Manning said on Friday night was that he gives them a lot of flexibility with that slot receiver position, but he also can take the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. He can, you know, they can give it to him on a sweep.
DeShante?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they can put him, anywhere.
Yeah. And that'd be nice, but part of it too is protecting, right?
Yeah.
If Iowa State's not protecting, you just had Jeff Woody up here, and people that are listening, go back and watch the Jeff Woody.
Yeah. CFTV. If you haven't watched CFTV, I feel bad for you, dude.
Yeah, you got to get on Jeff Woody. You'll learn a lot from what he just told you. But if Iowa State can't protect, they're going to have to put that fullback position back there. They're going to have to have a tight end. They're going to have maybe 7 guys in the box. I think it's going to really limit how many wide receivers are going to be able to play for Iowa State.
Right. And I'm not saying that they're not going to get the ball to DeShante Jones, because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tom Manning's way smarter than I am with figuring out how to get the ball into people's hands.
But if he has 15 catches at the end of the year?
Right. Like, I would feel like that was a wasted season.
Okay.
You know?
What is the magic number for you for catches for him? Or is it not even catches? Just how much time he's on the field?
It's just like, I feel like there's – would you say there's like a certain level of contribution that you like want to see from someone where it's like to like justify that?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Well, we did this last week too, right?
Yeah.
We had over-unders.
It's even like with Tymar Sutton. Like I want to see Tymar Sutton see the field as a freshman, because obviously that means that he's doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if he's not going to be that productive, I'd rather have a year 5 where Tymar Sutton can just be an absolute freak as your Mike or Will linebacker, rather than have 1 year where Tymar Sutton's a true freshman and he maybe makes 10 tackles on special teams and maybe a couple other tackles in the defense.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the counter argument to that would be too, he's getting a lot of experience.
Yeah, I definitely see.
He's definitely tuned in more during the season. If you know you're redshirted, it's pretty easy just to tune out for that whole season, right?
Yeah.
And I think there is a learning experience as far as every week you're sitting there in game room watching game film, learning everything. So I see both sides to it. But
it's all like theoretical too, because I don't know that that's how it would be with Tymar. I don't know if that's how it would be with DeShante.
He could be starting by game 6. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be that big of a stud. The one that obviously jumps off the page is the first one you said, though, Sean Foster.
Right.
It'd be really nice if they could redshirt him.
Yeah, that's the main one.
Yeah.
If they don't have to play him, then I really don't want him to.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy that he has been as productive.
Yeah.
That they seem as happy with him as they have so far.
Well, I think that – and for them to be able to say that, and then if you can redshirt him, like, I mean, he can be a beast, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he obviously came in as a 4-star.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of that, he's a 4-star, but he's a 4-star based kind of down the road. It's going to take him a little bit of time. Well, he's showing up, and part of it is depth, but part of it is he's actually looked really pretty damn good, and he's on his own. So, yeah. Okay, so that's your number 3?
Yep. No, that's number 4.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Okay, my number 4 is average 2 takeaways a game.
That's a good one.
So, guess how many takeaways we had last year?
It's –
total for the season.
Total?
No, I'm talking
15.
Under that. 13.
Oh,
what I'm looking at is correct here on College Football Stats, 13 total. 2014, 16. 2013, 21. That's not good. Back when Iowa State was winning a lot of games under Paul Rhodes, 26, 32, 23, 24.
Yeah, you got to force those turnovers.
I think 2 a game is a good number. I don't think it's getting greedy.
And then you can't.
I don't think I'm being unrealistic.
And then on the flip side, only have 1 turnover a game you turn the ball over.
You got to win the turnover battle, right?
Yeah.
You got to. I would love to see more than 2 a game.
Yeah.
But just based on where we've been the last 3 years,
what is like how
it's
many?
It's got to be at least.
I wonder how many turnovers like Alabama forces.
I could look this up.
LSU. So you know those schools that just always have a good defense. Ohio State.
I will say part of that is, too, is I think Iowa State obviously plays in a very offensive
a lot definitely. Of talent.
Alabama turnover ratio. Let's take a look here.
See, even then, Alabama, they play a lot. They play some teams that run the ball a lot, so you might not force quite as many turnovers in that situation, you know?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, this is great radio here. 15 games, they had turnover gain 27. That can't be right. Oh, yeah. They had 27 takeaways. So not a ton.
No.
Not a ton, but a decent amount. You know, but you look at the best teams last year, Houston.
But they probably 35. Never turned the ball over either, so.
No, not very often. So, yeah, that's my number four.
Yeah.
Step up, getting more turnovers.
My number five, a bowl game and a holiday vacation.
Well, I think, I mean, that's a guarantee, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think that's something everybody wants to see.
Yeah, that's why it's my number five.
Because then that means you're traveling somewhere come January, right?
That's what I'm saying.
If we're going to a bowl game, we're going in January for sure, right?
Yeah. And I hope that it's like San Diego. That'd be cool.
You know who we have to blame for not going to San Diego a couple years back?
Nebraska.
No. Guy just left this office a little bit ago.
Oh.
I shouldn't say that.
Wait, why?
Jeff Woody.
What'd he do?
He fumbled against West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
I've given crap about that. He did a lot of other really good things at Iowa State that I think we can forgive him for that
yeah,
one,
I would say so.
For that one time. But anyway, instead we got to go to Memphis, which I feel like is you always hear San Diego and Memphis. They get compared quite a bit to each other, you know, as far as climate and weather and women and, yeah.
As long as I can go somewhere and it's warm and I can sit by a pool in December, I'll be happy.
Okay.
And as long as Iowa State's playing a 13th game.
Okay. My number five, I want to see adjustments.
Okay.
And I want to see.
Adam Gray is just like, you went like with the super serious ones.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. No, I did. I mean, I want to see adjustments both at halftime where we sucked in the second half.
Yeah.
And I know Iowa State coaches have gone back and watched and they're making it a point to try to tell these guys, hey, we're going to be much better in the second half. But not only that, I've hit on this a lot, that Texas Tech game last year. You have a game plan in place, right? Well, all of a sudden, if something's working for you and something's not, you have to change that game plan in the middle. Mike Warren is running for 10 yards a carry. Sam Richardson can't throw the ball anywhere. Horrible that day. Stop throwing the damn ball. I don't care if Mike Warren needs 40 carries. Iowa State needed to run that ball all game. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball. You gotta blitz. You gotta just do something. You gotta mix it up. I want to see Iowa State make necessary adjustments. And even if it doesn't work, you got to just try different stuff. You can't just go in and be, I don't know. I'm trying to be nice about it. But you can't go in saying, hey, this is our game plan and we're going to stick with it and be just bullheaded about it.
And I think that was part of the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of times, if you actually look at it, towards the end of the year, Iowa State had really good game plans to start certain games.
Yeah.
And then the other team would make the adjustment. And Iowa State goes, well, we're going to keep doing it. Well, kind of.
It was like they – I don't know. I wouldn't really know. Like, I don't know what word to use, but it's like when you're just too, I don't know if it'd be egotistical or something like that. For you to almost realize even that like what you game planned isn't working, you know, or you're too hard headed to change it.
Well, I love when coaches always say before a game, we got to establish the run. No matter what, we're going to line up. We're going to run right at them.
Yeah.
Okay, what if they put eight guys in the box?
Yeah.
Then you scrap it and you say, okay, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them passing. You got to adjust a little bit. And sometimes, I mean, shoot, how many times did Iowa State have a third and one or fourth and one to win a football game the last 3 years? And we knew we couldn't pick it up, but yet we still lined up. And we tried to run it right up the middle. They'd bring a defensive end, wrap up our legs, and we'd not pick up the play. At some point, you have to realize this is not our strength. We have to do something different, but we never did. Throw the ego out. It doesn't matter if you're tougher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm tougher than you. I'm going to run it right at, who cares? Just get the first down.
Yeah.
Just get the freaking first down. I don't care if you have to throw the ball 5 yards or I don't care if you have to do a trick play. It doesn't matter. All that matters is getting the first down, getting three more, and then Iowa State probably has lost 4 or 5 games in the last 3 years where if they would have just got one more first down, that game was over.
Yeah.
Didn't pick it up on 3rd and short, 4th and short. Other team gets it back. Defense couldn't make a stop when we lost the game. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to get that first down. And if you know that your team's not strong and physical enough to run it right down their throat, do something different.
Try and run around them. Do something. Yeah, do something else. Ben Brun said it. Ben Brun said it one day on Sports Fanatics. He said it perfectly. He was like, everybody wants to be able to have these plays that, you know, are going to amount to 50 yards.
Yeah.
But if you're not good enough to do it,
scrap it.
Then scrap it. Get rid of it. That's all there is to it. Those were his exact words. Get rid of it. It's like, and I think that Tom Manning and Matt Campbell are going to be good at that because I think that and Ben talked about this, but I think that those offensive line coaches, they're, I don't know that I'd say it's like that they're more realistic, but it's like they are more in tune with what realistically the offense should is capable of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they know what the offensive line is, what drives the car. It's the engine that drives the car, you know, and they're the ones that know how strong the engine is.
You're not a golfer.
No.
But I'm going to use a golf analogy here. Have you ever played with a buddy who like always asks you, hey man, what club are you hitting?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm hitting a 7-iron. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. And you're like, well, dude, I'm no offense or anything, but you hit the ball like 40 yards short, right? You don't say that to him, but you're thinking in your head.
Yeah.
So you get up and it's a par three and you hit a 7-iron and you're, you know, around the green distance wise is good. And they get up and hit a 7-iron and they hit it like 40 yards short. It doesn't matter what club you use to get there. All that matters is you get there.
Yeah.
So who gives a shit if you hit a 4 or 5-iron? Hit the 4 or 5-iron. Get there. Right. That's the same thing in football. Just get there, man. I don't care how you do it.
That was a great analogy, dude.
Thanks, man. It just came to me, too. It just came to me. So
that was a Jeff Woody-esque analogy.
And here's the thing. If you want to hit the 7-iron and you're not strong enough to get it there, go to the exercise coach, get 2 free workouts or 4 free workouts from them, get stronger, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're hitting a 7-iron.
Then you're hitting the 7-iron, you're getting on the green every single time.
You're pure in it. You know who won the Gray Family Golf outing last Sunday?
I'm probably going to guess it's you.
No, it wasn't, unfortunately. I couldn't putt. But my brother Ryan did. Brother Ryan, where's he been working out lately?
The exercise coach.
Yeah, he's in great shape, looking good. He's never won it before. Just started working out the exercise coach, and there he goes. God, you see how I'm plugging everyone in now, too?
There you go, dude.
God, I am on a roll.
Great stuff. I've got one more plug.
Let's hear it.
Go follow the CF Instagram account.
You're really excited about where this is going right now.
I know. I'm going to make this into a thing.
Okay, by the end of football season, I want your prediction on how many people are following the CF.
Following the CF Instagram? 1,000.
Oh, no, go bigger. I was going to say.
Go bigger?
2,500.
2,500?
Well, CF Instagram or CF Twitter's got what,
16,000.
16,000 followers. Yeah.
See, and that's what I don't know. I don't know what my next move is. What's going to be my next move to generate more followers?
Yeah,
I've just got to pump out content. I've got to have good stuff now.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. But yeah, moral of the story, go follow the CF Instagram account. It's going to be great stuff.
Who's in charge of that account? You?
It's going to be me, Krogs.
Krogs.
I'll give him a little bit of control. Chris went off on it one day.
Just a little bit of control for Krogs.
Yeah.
I don't want any One Tree Hill stuff popping up on the Cyclone Fanatic.
No, that stays safely on his. I think he's G Krogs on Instagram. Go follow him too.
Go follow him if you want some inspirational One Tree Hill quotes.
Definitely.
Oh, we love Krogs. It's all fun. Anything else we need to hit on?
I don't think so this week. Next week, we can talk about we can talk about the official visitors. There's going to be a couple of football official visitors. Darius McNeil will be in on a visit for the weekend. I talked to Keyshawn Feasel, exchanged a few text messages.
How'd that go?
He told me his visit was good. It was good.
That's it?
And
time out. Was it it was good, period, or exclamation point?
Nothing. No punctuation.
That's not good.
Well,
that's not good.
And then I was like, was there anything that really stood out to you? And he said, the fans, with a bunch of exclamation points. Okay, so he really liked the fans.
There you go. Good job, fans. Where did he see the fans at, though?
I don't know. He came on an unofficial visit, too.
Just last weekend?
Which I didn't realize was unofficial.
When did you text him?
I texted him and I said, hey, man, how'd your visit go?
Okay, but when was he here this last week?
Yeah, this weekend.
Was he here for FanFest?
Yeah, he must have been, yeah.
That's where it was. Okay, I was wondering where he would see all the fans.
Yeah.
FanFest, okay. Smart play by the Iowa State coaches.
Definitely.
I hear that was a great turnout.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I saw some pictures. There were people lined up way out in the street outside the Berg.
I would have liked to have taken the family, but we were overcoming a little sickness in the Gray household.
Yeah, that's too bad, man. Is Owen okay? Is he back on his Super Smash Bros. Now?
It's funny that you're on this. I don't know if I've ever seen him play Super Smash Bros.
Dude, that's the game that he carried around with him the day I was there.
No, he didn't want to play any game. He's back. I mean, it's funny. We've been knock on wood. We've had a family of not very – our kids do not get sick.
Uh-huh.
But it went through our house pretty quickly on Saturday. So, yeah. But, no, he's fine. He's good. He actually starts preschool September 1st. We did the parent-teacher meetup last night.
Yeah.
He was very shy. He was a little bit
– was he?
A little bit conservative. I was a little surprised because he's been excited to go to school for a long time now.
Krista told me he didn't even wear a shirt the day that she babysat for him.
Probably not.
Not the whole time that she was there, he didn't wear a shirt the whole time.
Why would he? Sun's out, guns out, man. You know, you still got that 4-year-old body. You got to sport that. Because when you get to be 30, 40 years old, then it's you can't put a shirt on quick enough.
fair enough. All right, dude. Get down to the exercise coach. If you go to the exercise coach, then you'll be fine walking around with no shirt.
Yeah. Exercise coach, you'll just be shredded.
Thanks, Adam Gray. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
We'll be back next week. Go watch CFTV Live.